Lesson will be projected on either side of me if you'd like to follow along. We'll be taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple."
Good morning.
Is this on? Is this on?
Hold on one second.
Hello?
Okay. Good morning. It is indeed a blessing to be here this morning, to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's good to see everyone out this morning, both our members and those who may be visiting with us. We are extremely grateful that you've taken time out of your schedules to come and be with us this morning. I have been looking forward to this day for about, I think it's about 2 months now since I agreed to do a sermon, and I am extremely thankful for this opportunity. And I'm thankful to our elders for trusting me to be able to stand before you all and proclaim God's word. The goal of my sermon this morning is to serve as a reminder to those of us who have already made these commitments. And if there is someone here who is not a Christian, I hope and pray that something is said that will persuade you to think about your life and to surrender to the gospel this morning. Christianity is indeed the world's greatest blessing, the forgiveness of sins, the chance to have a relationship with God, the peace of God, wisdom and knowledge of the scriptures, and so much more are truly a blessing from God. And these blessings were made possible because of the price that someone was able to pay. We may never be able to fully comprehend the price that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ paid on our behalf, but we can learn to live a life that is pleasing to God and learn to pay the cost of being a disciple. Now, going back to our scripture reading and starting in verse 26, and Jesus first says, "If anyone comes to me." In coming to Christ, we forsake all of the doctrines and all of the paths. Coming to Jesus was first made possible because of the price, because of our loving Father who gave his Son to us. John 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And coming to Jesus was also made possible because of the price that Jesus paid on our behalf. If you recall the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" And then in verse 42, "Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" And so Jesus, submitting himself to the will of the Father, endured the scourging and let himself be hung on the cross, paying a price that no one else could pay. And because that price has now been paid for us, anyone can now come to Christ and be his disciple. Now, the next part in verse 26 says this, "And does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. When Jesus speaks of hating one's family, he's not talking about in the sense of despising them or wishing or doing harm to them. No, we're never told to loathe or detest another human being. And no one would expect that Jesus would require his followers to hate his father and mother in the sense of detesting them. Now, the Bible consistently teaches us that we are to honor our father and our mother. You know, Exodus 20, verse 12 in the Old Testament, God gave the commandments to the children of Israel. He says to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And in the New Testament, we see in Ephesians 6, 2, and 3, it says to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And we also see how the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And then our brothers and our sisters and our children are members of our family, and we are to provide for them with love. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, even though we love them dearly, we cannot let them interfere with our service to the Lord. What Jesus is telling us here is that we are to love them less than we love him. Now, we cannot be worried about what our friends and family think of us when we decide to put Christ before him. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So if anyone wishes to become a disciple of Christ, you must understand that he comes first before our friends and our family. And the last part of verse 26 says this, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now while a person will give anything and give anything and everything for their life, and while Paul says in Ephesians 5:29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Jesus also requires that a person hate their own life, meaning that we must love Christ more than we love ourselves. Now, sometimes you may have to sacrifice the comforts of life in order to live for Jesus. To give a few examples, there may be times when you are extremely tired and all you want to do is sleep, but you know that you need to come to worship service or Bible study. Or perhaps you may have had a long day at work and it's late at night and you want to go to bed, but you know you need to do your daily study. Or it could be visiting the sick or simply doing things when self doesn't want to do them. Now, Jesus talks about some of the blessings of total commitment. Luke 18, 29 and 30. For he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. And we also see how Paul spoke of commitment to the Philippians, to the church of Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus is teaching us that no one can be his disciple if he allows anything or anyone to take priority over service to him. Now, they will constantly be serving self, leaving the Lord for other interests, falling away from their spiritual life. And sadly, many have left the Lord in that way in our day. Be willing to pay the price of no longer serving self, but now giving service to Jesus. Now, verse 27 says this, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, we know that Jesus carried his own cross. We see this in John 19, verse 17. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." And, at least figuratively, any disciple must carry their own cross. Mark 8, verse 34. "When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" The cross represented a major purpose in Jesus coming to earth as a man. To say that we must take up our cross means that we must establish and maintain in our lives the divine spiritual purpose for living. Coming after Jesus is just the continuing of a relationship and maintaining a true and steady course on the path that he directs. We must commit to doing anything and everything necessary to develop and maintain true Christianity in our lives. Now, this will involve sacrifice. You cannot change the laws of the Lord to accommodate you and your lifestyle. You must change to adapt to the Lord's way. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Christ sacrificed his regal position in heaven and humbled himself to come down to this earth. We as Christians should sacrifice our lives daily in order to pay the price of being a Christian. If we don't sacrifice like we should, if we don't sacrifice like we should, then we are not being true Christians. Now, the Lord warns us about not carrying our cross. Matthew 10, 38, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." The load that we bear may seem tremendous at times, but our sacrifice will not be greater than we can bear. Now, it may even involve physical suffering as our Lord suffered. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Being a disciple means that you must pay the price of persecution from the world. Why is that? Because we are not of the world anymore. John 15, 19. "If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now, we may not suffer persecution as the early church did, but we still will be hated by the world because we choose to follow Christ. You know, some may do things as, the world might do things as denies a promotion or denies invitations, constantly dealing with peer pressure, or anything related to that because we choose to follow Christ. Taking up your cross would mean that we are walking in his footsteps, coming along behind him. Now, the Bible gives us a few examples of individuals who chose to follow God. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 8, is talking about King David. "And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes." We can also see how Elijah called upon the people to follow Jehovah if they truly believed him to be God. 1 Kings 18, 21. "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. And then also King Josiah, he stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. 2 Kings 23:3. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Anything apart from these conditions, Jesus says no one can be his disciple. You cannot adjust Christianity to a circumstance that will work for you. Jesus has set the standard, and we are told to follow him. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now, in these next few verses, Jesus uses two illustrations to establish the need to understand the total commitment required in following him. The first is from a construction viewpoint, and the second is from a military viewpoint. The point of each involves undertaking a project or reaching for some goal without considering the complete obligation and effort and expenses. Being a disciple in the kingdom of Jesus Christ is both a spiritual objective and application to be sought. You know, the builders should not act foolishly or in a hurry. We must not act without computing the costs and reasonably assessing the financial impact. Now, we can read, now Solomon gives us some words of wisdom on this issue. Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 6. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For the heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counsels, counselors, there is safety. Now, a person should build if they are able, but they should know the cost in terms of required personal sacrifice prior to building. A person's decision to follow Christ should be taken even more seriously. Building one's life for Christ may cost them their friends and their family. It will cost laying aside sinful pleasures, activities, and relationships. It can cost one's profession, and in some cases, their own life. So ask yourself, am I willing to pay the ultimate price for Christ, to die for the Lord? If you cannot accept the type of spirit, then you cannot be a disciple. Verse 29 and 30. Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now Jesus goes on to express another problem with failing to count the cost. Now we can begin our walk with Christ and lose all the equity that we have put into the effort we have made already. We can see how Paul warned the Galatians who went back to the law of Moses. Galatians 3, verse 2 and 4. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, and you now being made perfect by the flesh, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now we can also see how Peter compared turning back to turning to false teachers and turning away from Christ. 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb: a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. And then the Apostle John, he makes an appeal in 2 John in verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. So to sum up, verse 29 and verse 30 is this: finish what you start. How many people have we seen start this journey and didn't finish? No, it happens a lot in construction. A contractor, they'll start a project, and for whatever reason, they are not able to finish. Any disciple should carefully consider his actions to prevent an end result of failure. Verse 31, or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? So this time the example is a king going to make war against another king. No, it does not seem that this king has the option to ignore the other king. He will have to respond. Yet, he is foolish if he rushes to war. So, what should this king do? Before committing his army and his nation to war, he should sit down first and consult thoughtfully with himself and his trusted advisors. You know, to do otherwise will be foolish. We also should not be foolish, but be cautious when committing to spiritual battle. You know, the issue is whether this king is able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. You know, he knows the size and power of his own force. He has calculated or estimated the measure of the opposing force. You know, the question is, can he stand up to the opponent on the battlefield? Is it wise to go into conflict without considering all the factors, while the other obviously has a superior strength? Verse 32, or else, while the other king is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and adds conditions of peace. So instead of rashly going into war and dealing with the other king as the enemy, you know, the man might consider his options and seek peace, or else suggest a choice he has about waging the impending war. You know, something must be done. You know, he cannot ignore this situation. You know, the tower builder could build or not build, act or not act. On the other hand, this king, he must make a conscious decision to act one way or the other. Now, Jesus advises that the sensible decision after deliberation is to act while the other is a great way off. In doing that, he can deal with the greater king before having to suffer massive defeat at his hands. So, how can we apply this to ourselves? Well, think of it like this. The first king seems to represent the object of the lesson, the disciple who must make some type of action. Hopefully, he or he will act with wisdom. Now, most assume in this situation that the second king, the one with the superior force, is Satan. The point that can be made is that we must battle Satan, and we must carefully deliberate the cost of serving the Lord. Now, certainly, Satan is our enemy, and we must consider how to escape his power. Many people, even those who are powerful or have some type of influence in this world, constantly fight against God without considering the cost. Now, we can never desire conditions of peace with the devil. We may, however, appeal to the grace of God and seek his favor rather than rashly fighting against him. Now, this view extends the force of the two parables. The first stresses the determination necessary to be a disciple. And the second expands upon that to emphasize that the choices that are made must be evaluated properly, and the following decision must be wise. Finally, verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So Jesus has come to the conclusion. Unless someone hates their family, he cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We must also forsake all that we have. Every one of us must count as unimportant the things of this world and make peace with God. Each of us, we may not have to physically part with all of our personal belongings until we die, but we must have the spirit that will cause us to do so at any given time. Materialism is the bane of our wealthy society, and perhaps the greatest present danger to the church. Every Christian is affected and must constantly deal with the temptations that it presents. We must continue to forsake all else in order to follow Jesus Christ. He must take top priority in our lives. Now, this requires total trust and devotion. Now, God will provide if you first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, which you can read this in Matthew 6, verse 24 to 33, which we just had a lesson on this not too long ago. And because of that, we should come to him as humbly as possible so that he can supply all of our needs. Now, there is great joy to be found in Christ. Forsaking all for Christ in order to work for a home in heaven, it should bring every Christian joy beyond measure. Now, after careful consideration, if one is to follow Jesus, he must leave their love and attachment to all else. We must remember that our treasure is in heaven. Otherwise, you cannot be a Christian, and therefore you cannot pay the cost of being a disciple. If you are here this morning and not a Christian, let me ask you these questions. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that the words written in this book were written by men who were inspired by God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he died, that he lived, and died and rose again, and now sits on the right hand of God? Are you ready to make that change in your life, to become a Christian and stay faithful until death? If you are ready to do that, we can assist you this morning. Or perhaps you have started that Christian journey and have gotten yourself in a state where you need the prayers of the church. We can assist you with that as well. So if anyone desires baptism or prayer or whatever needs may be, let them be known as together we stand.